Throughout the last couple of weeks, we've been taking a look about anything dealing with 2020 vision and what that actually looks like. Today, we're going to be focusing on having 2020 vision. And throughout the next couple of weeks, we're going to be basically taking a look at having a 2020 vision within the church and how we can actually apply these practical things and implement them into our community and how we can touch each other by having that dynamic vision for God. Before we actually get into that part of it, I have some things that sometimes this is a very, I hope that it's a very intense, it makes a thought-provoking message, and sometimes it really helps if we have a little bit of humor right beforehand. How many people like humor? Raise your hand. Okay, all 10 of you. All right, great. Well, for the rest of you, just bear with me. These three cartoons, these will illustrate different things dealing with our vision. The first one is a doctor. This guy's in the doctor's office. And he's on this, basically this platform, this, I don't know, it looks like a chair or something like that. But anyway, he said, I'd like to buy a vowel. That's what it says at the bottom of it. How many people, whenever they're at the eye doctors or at the doctors and they're doing the sight and vision, how many of you, whenever they cover the one eye, how many of you squint like really hard? Raise your hand. All right, I don't know why that is, but it's like, I'm going to pass this thing. All right, and then we do it through the other eye as well. For whatever reason, there are certain things that we can actually see a little bit better if we concentrate a little bit more on. And I pray that that would be our experience today in the Word of God as well. The second one is dealing with basically a employee and their boss or supervisor. There's a sign that says, follow your dreams. At the bottom of the caption, it says this, it's supposed to inspire, but most employees see that as permission to take a nap. So don't do that, all right, if you're at work, if you see that sign. And the last one is dealing with a couple. They're going to a marriage counselor, getting some different advice, and of course they're going through different things, and they get to the point where the counselor says, you really shouldn't criticize her old boyfriends. You're one of them. And I think there's a lot of truth to that as well, so don't do that next time that you're picking on your spouse. Today we're going to take a look at something very, very important dealing with the church. And of course, the church is known as the what? The bride of Christ. Now I know some of you are saying, Pastor Dave, I'm not feminine, all right? Well, that's okay. God himself in the grammar, he is known as masculine. So he refers to his bride as someone that is special, someone that is called out, as we just read from Peter just a little bit ago. But if I told you this morning, how do you think Jesus Christ views his church? How do you think God views the church? What do you think that you would see? Obviously, there is speculation about this, but yet it still gives us at least a stirring of the imagination of what we think that we would look like to Jesus Christ as his bride. After all, we are not perfect in and of ourselves, are we? We struggle, we mess up pretty much, I would say, on a daily basis. There's sometimes our actions display things that are contrary to God. Sometimes it's in an attitude. Sometimes we come to even a worship service and we're like, okay, what can you do for me today, Pastor Dave? Sometimes it's a flippant way that we come to God. There's a lot of distresses that we have in our lives and even burdens that we carry. And yet the realization is this. We offend God on a regular basis. You realize that? Whether we like to admit it or not, if you look at the person beside you on the pew, the person across the pew from you, we are a messed up people, all right? Just in case you don't know. We know what to do most of the time. 9 out of 10 times, we know what to do, but oftentimes it's just getting the heart to do what we know to do and to pursue that which is right and honorable. We are flawed if we look in the mirror. We need, I think, get a reality of that from time to time. But then whenever you really take a closer look into God's perfect law of liberty, which is the scriptures, you really find yourself waning. Now, I know oftentimes whenever we can look out on the outside and we can say, you know what, I look pretty good here today. Our dress, we took a shower and different things, we brushed our teeth, all those different types of practical things, which is a good thing. We can look good on the outside, but on the inside, sometimes we're hurting. And especially as we look into God's perfect law of liberty, we can see ourselves as like, oh man, God, I'm messing up. Man, God, I love you, but man, my love wanes and I struggle, God. I love God doesn't treat us like second-class citizens whenever we come to Him with that type of a heart. Whenever we come to Him with that type of brokenness, there is something that God does for us and to us. And I pray that we would see ourselves. Whenever we look into God's perfect law of liberty, we see who He is. We see His holiness. And there is no one like Him. No wonder we need Christ. No wonder. I want us to focus on what some of these imperfections may look like. And I want us to consider basically different things dealing with brides that they put on or that they wear, especially for that special day of their wedding. Now, I can remember, I can't even believe it's been over 20 years since Elise and I have been married. I know I don't look that old, neither does she. At least that's what you better be thinking. All right. But there's a special day, there's a dating period, there's a courtship period, there's a time that you just end up bonding together. You see some of the things that a person likes and what they don't like, and you send cards and letters and all these different types of things throughout a courtship. Now today, a lot of people are texting, they're calling, they're maybe not so much people emailing. All these different types of things of communication that we want to show our special other, our significant other, that we what? That we like them, that we care about them, that we love them. All right, and we're going to do everything possible to show them that. But the truth of the matter is, oftentimes we can say that we love God, but our hearts are so far away from Him. And God wants us to recognize this morning that even though in all of our imperfections, that He doesn't see us how often maybe we see ourselves. And it's all because of Christ. Some, perhaps, especially in the world today, and perhaps even some of the bride or of the church, we view ourselves like this. We're like battered. Our dresses are torn. And I would basically represent a dress, so to speak, of a bride here. The outside part of the beauty, we try to enhance that. But I represented this morning as our character or lack thereof. Sometimes we want a hard pressed after God, and other times it's like, God, I'm failing You miserably. And God, I need You. I don't see myself as robed in Your righteousness. God, I don't see myself as white. I see myself in almost an aspect of mourning. And God, I'm distant from You. This is whenever things tend to grip our heart and almost choke the life out of us. It could be things of anxiousness, of being worried, of being intimidated about what the future may hold for us. We can get bitter over certain situations that have happened to us in the past, and we may say that it's not right and it's not fair. We can become angry and distant. It's during those type of times that we can realize that God is so near to us. Whenever we see ourselves for who we truly are, in need of a touch from Him. We have to remember that even though we may be broken at different times in our lives, and I know I have been this way in recent days, even though we're maybe a little distraught or discouraged, we have to remember that even in our brokenness, that this is not the end. God is going to do a supernatural work. Only He can do the supernatural within our lives. Whenever we say, God, I can't anymore. And He says, yes, you can go. Go a little bit further. He can create in you a new heart. Do you realize this? That God can breathe on you and He can restore that which was lost. He can give you grace, compound the grace in such a way that He can rise you up out of the dirt and the mire. Say, Pastor Dave, how in the world do we do that? That's just God being God. Do you realize this? That don't call it prematurely. Don't quit prematurely. Because you don't know what tomorrow holds. And whenever we think, oh, you know what? It's almost like a hopeless situation. Somebody from the shelter a couple months ago, Lisa was telling me that this person said, oh, it's hopeless. And then she remembered, she said, you know what? Nothing's hopeless whenever God inserts Himself into our lives. And you may be at a crossroads right now in your life. It may be a health situation, a physical situation, a financial aspect, a spiritual decision that you have to make, and you're at the crossroads, you're like, God, I don't know what to do here. I'm so weak. I'm so fragile. God can undertake for you and give you a supernatural strength that you never knew existed. You say, Pastor Dave, how do you know that? I've lived that this last past week. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing whenever we go through challenges. It's one of those things that God undertakes for us and binds us and gives us strength from Him, from above. We have to remember that even in our weakness, even in our despondency, it is through Him that we find our strength. He is our very identity. He is our everything. Yes, we may be torn from time to time, but we have to remember that this is not the end. It's just the beginning of something that God is going to do greater things in and through us because we are predestined for greater things. The second aspect that I want to draw our attention to is dealing with smudge makeup. Guys don't usually wear this. Years ago, I needed a haircut a little bit like on the sides of my ears. You know how you need a little trim, guys? Every once in a while, you're like, it's not quite that you need a haircut, but you're like, it's touching the ears and it's a little uncomfortable. And Elise was like, you know what, I can trim this, no problem. I like, okay, well, just be careful you don't go too high. She's like, oh, don't worry, I won't. And so she was doing it. She goes, oh, that one's perfect. And all of a sudden, I'm like, that's not a good sound. I'm like, what happened? And she goes, okay, so don't get too anxious. She said, I'm paraphrasing here. She goes, I cut a little deeper than what I should have. I'm like, so what does that mean? She goes, well, you're missing a little bit of hair where you should have hair. I'm like, no. I looked in the mirror. I'm like, Elise, what did you do? Look at this. How am I going to do it? I said, I'm a public speaker. Figure, what are people going to say? She said, don't worry. I know how to fix this. And so she goes to her makeup kit. She gets out a little bit of this dark makeup, and it worked pretty well, actually. I was like, okay, well, that's not too bad. She goes, I'll just do it every morning until it grows back in. I'm like, okay, sure. That's not a problem. Well, it wasn't a problem until at the time I was actually in New Jersey. I was teaching, and I had physical education outside. And all of a sudden, my mascara, or whatever it was, it started running on the side of my face. And a couple of the soccer guys, they would come up and say, hey, Pastor Dave, man, you're like running off the side of your face. What is that? I'm like, I think even one of the guys said, it was like dirt or something. I said, yeah, it could be. I knew what it was. It wasn't. I was like, oh, this is so embarrassing. I didn't want to say my mascara is running, obviously. You know what? A lot can be said for us trying to cover up things. We can put a smile on our face Sunday morning, but throughout the week, we are hurting. It could be different situations in each one of our lives, and I guarantee you this, if we went around the room today and told about the things that we're concerned about, maybe that are gripping our souls down to the very core, it wouldn't take too long to go around. If we're honest with ourselves and honest with each other, we'd go around here and it wouldn't be too long until people would start having tears in their eyes and we'd become very emotional. We use makeup to touch up or to perhaps cover up some of the blemishes that make us maybe uncomfortable, and we try to beautify ourselves like that. But I'm also reminded about this, especially dealing with the eyes. They say that certain people say that eyes are windows into the soul. I believe that to at least in part be true. If I went around and stared into each one of your eyes, what would I see this morning? Despondency, rejoicing, a little bit of heartache, a little bit of turmoil, loss, loneliness, the list goes on and on. May I remind you as well as myself that even whenever we get to a point where we feel like crying and whenever we're feeling despondent, that He is so close to us. It's during those times of brokenness that it's almost like He just is like there. It's like a mom or a dad. It comes alongside of us. It's almost like He's saying, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. We need that reassurance, don't we? Oftentimes we try to hide the real you, but may I remind you as well as myself that God knows the real you. He knows all the ins and outs. He knows all about us. And the amazing thing is, He still loves us. I pray that we would not try to hide ourselves from Him. We wouldn't try to cover up that which He knows to be true, but that we would just confess it, repentant, get His forgiveness over it, and walk away free. The third item this morning is one of the first things actually I notice. It's hair. Okay, I don't know if you could tell it's hair from there, but it's basically sunset. Basically, in the background, there's this girl's hair. It's blowing in the wind. And basically, messed up hair, especially on a wedding day, that's like, no, for a bride, it's like people will be waiting for a long time period to get that hair exactly how they want it, because it's a very special what on the day of their wedding? It's a very special day. It's a very special occasion. They want everything to be perfect at least as much as possible. So they're going to take that extra time of making sure their hair and their makeup, everything like that is just so-so. I compare it to the hair, to the aspect of a messed up mind sometimes. At times, our emotions, our will, our minds, the way that we think, it is so complex. And that's one of the reasons why God says in the Scriptures to guard your heart. Here it has the idea of guard your mind. Don't allow yourselves to become susceptible to that which is natural. If you pursue that which is natural, folks, you're going to go down a road that is hardship and is so far away from God and the destiny that He wants you to pursue and the destiny that He wants you to come to grips with, that we will find ourselves struggling in heartache. Follow that which honors Christ. Fourthly, this morning, there's a total of seven things. I know hopefully this has never happened to you ladies. Broken heel. All right, how many ladies have ever gotten a broken heel? Okay, one I think I saw. Years ago we were playing, I didn't have a heel on, thank the Lord. I had a sandals on. We were playing in the playground, and one of my sons, I think it was Ben, he trampled on the back of my flip-flop, and it split like right in two, like it was almost like the glue came up. And so now I'm running around like it was basically, it felt so weird. It was like clop, clop, clop. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna, but I really like this flip-flop. And so I was like, man, you know, I got one home and I put some glue on it and, you know, got a clamp on it, did the best I could. And after a while I thought, oh, you know what, this will work. Well, after a little bit, it started to go bad again. I'm like, oh man, I'm going to have to go out and buy another pair of flip-flops, which you wouldn't think that would be that big of a deal. But these were kind of ones I really, really liked. And unfortunately, I had to throw them away. Here I think about the aspect of a broken heel and the aspect of footing. You know what? Sometimes our footing is fleshly and therefore wobbly, and sometimes we're unbalanced. I imagine, especially on heels like that, it would be really weird to walk. All right? Like going up and down, it would be unbalanced. But to be honest with you, this morning, sometimes in our lives, that's how we are. It's like a roller coaster. We go up and down and sideways, and nothing seems stable for us. I think about this, if we want to continue on the aspect of misery, or if we want to begin in an aspect of misery, we have to remember this morning. If you try to live for the world, and the world is a system, it's an anti-God type of system, and if you want to pursue after the things of God, you are going to be imbalanced, and you are going to be miserable. You say, Pastor Dave, how do you know that? I tried to do that, especially whenever I was in high school. I tried to kind of please other people. And the aspect, I was the same aspect, I tried to please God, and it just doesn't work that way. Talk about mission impossible. That's definitely mission impossible. I think about this morning. God doesn't want us to be wobbly or unbalanced. He wants us to have a sure footing because we are founded upon Himself. I was thinking about this passage this last past week whenever Moses went up to the Mount Sinai, you know, and I love this aspect about God. He came back and he was different. He spent time with God. And of course, I remember even the aspect of the burning bush, and going back there. And I remember the passage specifically whenever God was calling him to go and deliver the Israelites with the power of his hand. And God said to Moses there through the burning bush, Moses, take off your sandals, take off your shoes, for the place in which you are is what? Holy ground. Now, if we heard God say that to us, we were there like Moses, we're like, oh, okay, I'm going to take off my shoes. What else? All right. What else do I have to do to honor you, that this is a sacred place? And then I got to thinking about this morning. Do you realize this morning we can literally take off our shoes because the place where we are sitting right now is on holy ground? You say, Pastor Dave, it's not the same aspect as Moses. Think about this morning. The holiness where we find ourselves is not just a certain place in time. It's wherever God is. It's wherever the presence of God is holy. And therefore, we come into the sanctuary, so to speak, of God. But even more importantly than that, we are temples of the Holy Ghost. And there is something, there's a dynamic that maybe we don't even understand. It's the holiness of our lives through Christ that he empowers us to live a supernatural life for him. God doesn't want us to be imbalanced. He wants us to have a sure footing. I pray that we won't walk around like that spiritually this week, but that we would embrace who we were predestined to be. The fifth aspect is flowers. Flowers can make or break a different ceremony or celebration that we have. These are wilted flowers. I promise you this, if a bride came in and saw her bouquet of flowers or her bridesmaid's flowers like this, they'd be making some phone calls. They'd be like, I need flowers, these types of flowers right now. And what I compare the wood of flowers is to stunning growth. You know what? Some of us have made incredible strides in our relationship with Jesus in recent days and months. And that's a wonderful thing. And I commend you. Some of you, especially hanging around with some of you, I can actually tell that. And that's an incredible thing. It's a blessing to see and to be a part of. But sometimes our growth is stunted. We can't rely upon yesterday's mercy and love on our actions or attitude of yesterday. We have to concentrate on those things today. A lot of us, maybe years ago, used to serve Christ, but we're not doing that anymore. It's growth that God wants to convey to us that he wants to rekindle and to reflame and to grow, continue to grow in grace and knowledge. We do that by serving and by loving others as well as Christ himself. Sixthly this morning, earrings. I was thinking about this. Oftentimes, especially my wife, she'll come home and she goes, what happened to my earring? I'm like, oh, no. They're too small to find. Sometimes they're on the dresser. Sometimes they're other places. And you're like, oh, man, I hope she finds this. Because I know eventually she's going to have to go buy another pair similar to it. But the earrings themselves, I think about sometimes our ears, and that's what I want us to focus on, even through the aspect of earrings themselves. Be careful what you listen to. Man, it's so easy to get caught up in trying to please other people. What we listen to does affect our hearts. Guard that. Guard that heart. If there's things that are trying to influence you in different situations that are trying to influence your heart, even through different sights, your ears, whatever senses that they're trying to, don't allow it to happen. Be careful what you allow yourself to listen to. It's so easy to listen to gossip. Oh, we may not participate in gossip per se. We didn't say it, but it doesn't take too long. All of a sudden we're like, it's like sonar hearing. I have one of my children, they have like sonar ears. I'm not going to say which one it is, but this individual, I mean, you could be 20, 30 feet away and all of a sudden, shoo, and all of a sudden they're like right down, like, go away. This is like adult talk, you know? And there's things like that in our lives we have to be careful of, because oftentimes all a person of gossip, all of what they need really to add a little bit of fuel to the flame, it's just a listening ear. I pray that we wouldn't be part of that in the days ahead. Be careful what you allow yourself to listen to. The seventh aspect is dealing with a black veil. Now, this would be really weird, all right? We have a white dress, but a black veil. You're like, that doesn't even go together. Believe it or not, I saw some aspects on the internet that's exactly what they were wearing. I'm like, that does not go together. I know black and white kind of complement each other, but not on the day of a wedding. It communicates a wrong picture. You know what a veil attempts to do is to kind of hide the face. Especially, I noticed for arranged marriages, a lot of times that happens, especially in different countries, not so much of ours. But of course, it's there to beautify, to enhance. I think about this with our facial aspects. You know what? We can tell a lot by what a person is going through just by their body language, by their face, by their eyes, by their countenance. I think about this today. Whenever we leave here, today at Mountain View, not so long from now, a lot of us may try to cover up that which is so easily detected if we would just spend some time with each other and listen to people's hearts. I suggest to you all these things. If all these things went wrong on a person's wedding day, we'd say, okay, we need to reschedule because this is not happening. All right, we can't do this. I would submit to all of you that you would all agree if these things started to happen in this, maybe even in different orders, but in this way, we'd say, you know what, let's give up for this. This is a bad omen, so to speak. But I think about this today. Christ could come back today. What a day that would be. You know this? We don't get another chance at that. It's just one time. The trumpet will sound, and those of us that know Jesus Christ as Savior will be literally caught up in the air to be with Him forever and ever. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be doing anything that doesn't please God during that time. For those of us that know Christ as Savior, man, what a wonderful day that will be. But for those of you that may not know Christ, man, now's the time to seek God because He's seeking you out. He loves you in an incredible way. He gave us His Son on an old rugged cross, but He didn't stay there. After 3 days after He was buried, He rose again from the dead. And because of His life, we can live as well. For those of us that know Christ as Savior, we can pursue Him as Lord. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He is the vine. We're just the branches. He is the groomsman and we are the bride. He's coming for us one day. I think about this from Ephesians chapter 5, 27. This is such a powerful verse. It's a little bit different way than I normally do it. But this is such a powerful verse. This is how God wants to see us. And I even believe this is how He sees us. So don't think, going back real quick, don't say, come go out here and say, man, this is kind of a depressing thing. All these things, this is the reality, this is the vision for His church. No, 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 no. This is what He is doing right now in our midst. And He's doing a work within our hearts and to ourselves. And I love what Ephesians 5:27 says, and to present her, that is the church, to Himself as a radiant church. Here it has the idea of a glowing, an incredible enhancement unto Himself. Something that is a blessing to Him. Something that He has cherished and walked with and journeyed throughout all of church history. To present her to Himself as a radiant church, notice, without stain, without any type of blemish or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Wow. That's how Jesus has made us before the Father. Do you realize that this morning? All the offenses and all the imperfections and all the brokenness and all the heartache, all the dust, everything that we struggle with and people may try to label us with, Do you realize this morning that Jesus Christ's blood has redeemed you? You are not what you were. You're not everything that you're going to be, but praise the Lord, you're not what you were. God wants us to be honoring and serving and loving, forgiving, communicating to those around us in the way that we live, that we are His. We are a chosen people. We're a little bit different than Israel, but we are very special to Him. He died for us. He lives for us. We're a royal priesthood. Do you realize that only a certain sect of Israel, the Levites in and of themselves, could actually do various things to make appeasements and try to honor God the way that He wanted them to? Do you realize us as saints, all of us have accessibility to the throne room? We are a holy priesthood. We ask anything according to His will, He will answer us. Wow, what a standing this ours in Jesus. We're a holy nation. Now, I know some of you are saying, Pastor Dave, the United States is not a holy nation, and we're not. But as country, as people that are part of a country, our citizenship is in heaven, and we are a holy nation. Don't believe that you can't live a holy life. That's of the enemy. God enables us to be part of His holiness. We're a praiseful family, at least we should be. He has done that which nobody else could do for us. And He has given us life, life eternal, as well as the abundant life on this earth. We are God's special possession. The special possessions that I have, we try to take care of, don't we? Our vehicles, our houses. Then we come a little bit closer to home, our spouses, our children, our grandchildren. The things that we value, we hold in high esteem, it's very special to us. We look after it. I don't know about you, but I need to see myself more like this than the other images. We need to adjust our actions and attitudes to match this. We need to believe this. Sometimes we don't even think of ourselves. It's like, oh, Pastor Dave, I'm not even worthy. You're missing the whole point. If you wait to think that you're like this until you're worthy, you're never going to measure up. It's only through Christ that we are able to say this and to identify with Him and to be redeemed. This is our destiny because God has seen us through the righteousness of His own Son. In Ephesians 1:17, it says this, "In Him, that is in Christ, we have redemption through His blood." There is nothing more spectacular and something so as precious as Christ's blood to us. Why? Because there's forgiveness in His blood. And also, Ephesians 1:17 says, "The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace." Man, let that sink in a little bit. Let the blood of Christ that was shed for you and the grace that He freely bestows to you, may you partake of that today. May you not squander it. Don't make excuses over it and say that I can live the life that I want to. No. I want to honor Him with the blessings and His person, everything that He's about. I want to live in light of all that. I recognize this morning. God's not finished with us yet. He's still working on us. Remember that song, "He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be"? Now notice, we like to say it the other way around. Sometimes we're like, okay, God, you're still working on that person. Don't quit that. All right, keep going on. But we have to remember that God's still working on us. He is continuing to sanctify us and to purify our hearts and our minds and our will and our actions. Because I recognize this, that there is a day coming that this will be our reality. The lion, of course, represents Jesus Christ, who is the Lion of Judah, as He's referred to in the Scriptures and throughout the Scriptures, especially in the New Testament. Obviously, we see that the bride is the church. This will be our experience. This will be our reality one day. I don't know about you, but I don't want to procrastinate being who God wants me to be today. I don't want to miss out shining bright and being pure for my soon coming King. I want the Lion of Judah to be so proud of me whenever that day comes. How about you? God has given us 2020 vision today. Now what will you and I do with it?